Welcome to the Afropolitan podcast, hosted by Eche Emole, founder of Afropolitan. On the show, we chat with Afropolitans whose footprints form the foundation of systems dedicated to building the future of a bold and progressive Black community. In each episode, our guests share their working formulas, the hard facts about leaving familiar terrain, embracing the unknown, and staying relevant afterwards. Listen as we extract the blueprints of fearlessness, innovation, and progress.
Hey Afropolitans, in today's episode, we chat with Hanu Agboje, founder and CEO of Patricia, a fintech company using blockchain technology to deliver simple and secure digital transactions around the world. Hanu talks to us about his journey with Patricia, an ambition to transform alternative payment solutions in Africa. We hope you enjoy this episode. It's a pleasure to have you on Afropolitan Podcast, Hanu. How are you doing? How are you feeling?
Feeling good. Good to be here. Preach the gospel of crypto, Patricia.
Yeah. So let's talk about Patricia's mission. Yeah. Can you let me know what's Patricia's mission and vision for the world?
Yeah. So it's very simple. Right? Yeah. Our mission is to make crypto easy.
Yeah.
Right. To bring this high end ideal cryptocurrency. There will be Web3. We have NFTs. We have DAOs. These are many, many, many complicated concepts to a lot of people.
Yeah.
Right. And our mission, bring all of that and make it simple for everybody to use and, you know, be a part of this future that we are part of.
Yeah, no, definitely. So a lot of founders tend to complain about the process of recruiting and retaining talent. Mm-hmm. What would you say are some of the challenges that you're faced with that in the ecosystem?
Well, I think that's the biggest challenge we all face as a collective.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now with remote working, everyone can work from anywhere. You can work for a company in France, just you name it. Another thing that we all face, and the solution to it is creating pipelines.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's the first thing that has to be done. We have to create our own pipelines of getting talent in, getting them young, getting them in, and also coming up with very interesting incentives to manage and keep the ones we already have.
Yeah.
You know, most African companies and startups today have equity,
mm-hmm.
right? And that has been one of the single driving force large companies used in
incentives.
Exactly, yeah. Ownership.
You know? Yeah.
Ownership is something that cannot be understated. And once we have more companies giving ownership, the engineers will stay.
Yeah.
The product guys will also stay.
Yeah.
You know, and just making the workspace accessible. You know, it's impossible to match dollar for dollar with the big guns, you know,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, having a very strong culture, having a very strong vision
yeah.
that people can connect with, alongside with the relevant incentives, right? I feel like, it's going to work.
I think you're one of the youngest tech CEOs in the ecosystem, right? Can you talk to us about the journey to becoming Patricia's CEO? How did the idea start? What inspired the beginning of Patricia?
Well, for me, it was trying and trying again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Patricia happened to be a business I tried.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I did buy a bike and like cash card, did everything and anything.
Yeah.
I was just trying to clean up my mom button where I write down all my ideas. It was number 7, that idea journal.
Yeah.
You know, so I was going through all this business and bro, they ended in tears. They ended in tears, literally. Like, I got arrested in school. Like, there was just so much, you know. Like, it was so bad that I became so famous with my room number, room 19, because I was always bringing trouble to the lodge. One of my businesses has gone sour, you know, but, you know, like, there's a Washington always says, you know, we fail forward. And I failed forward with all of these businesses. I understood why they failed, and I understood what to do differently.
Yeah.
Yeah, so with Patricia, I was just out of college, just in Lagos for the first time, trying to think of what to do. And for some reason, the idea of Patricia just seemed to be the juiciest one on the table.
Yeah.
And I just took it.
Yeah.
I didn't know if it was going to work, if it was not going to work. I just took it. I didn't know anything about tech. I didn't know nothing about an ecosystem, fundraising. I was just trying the 14th idea, and it blew up. It blew up so bad from the first.
Well, to be fair, and what year was this too?
So in 2017.
Yeah, yeah.
So I appointed Patricia August 16th, yeah. precise 2017. So at the time it was quite interesting because I just finished school and I had sold all my existing businesses and all the money I had on me was like 800K. Really. My brother had still paid our house rent, so it was just 800K. And every day, man, this money is going down. This money is going down every day. And I'm like, bro,
how are we gonna run now, bro?
I gotta put this money to some use. So what I did, my brother had a manager. So I spoke to him, out me, and he put out a tweet. Oh, I was like, wow, this works. You know? So we had the interview. We hired two people, Chris and Beauty.
Yeah.
And that was it, you know? I used my 800K, I used 500K from it to rent a boy's quarter.
Yeah.
Where we were, what was our first office. And that was where Patricia was born.
Yeah.
Know? 1 month down the line, zero transactions, zero business, no more. 800K is like, it's like 120K now. you know, it was really funny. And I was like, man, what do I do from this point? How do I take it to the next level?
Yeah.
So at the time, right, influencing was not a thing in Nigeria. There was no influencers. Instagram was very new and budding. So there was this popular guy on Instagram, Mr. Jollof, who makes skits.
Yeah.
And I follow him, so I enjoy his skits. And that's why I figured, okay, this may work. Yeah. You know. And also, there was a time in university when Olamide, that's Bado, the musician, dyed his hair brown. In less than 2 weeks, half of my entire university
had their own
hair brown.
Wow.
And I did not understand that level of influence another human would have on me. And like, it was amazing to see that level of influence.
Yes, yes.
And I figured, okay, if Olamide can do that, that means for Olamide says, well, it's Patricia, they will use Patricia. But I cannot call Olamide, right? I can try Mr. Jollof.
Yeah.
Let me try my luck.
Yeah.
So I DM'd him on Instagram and he was trying to say I should pay like 150K or something. I said, bro, listen, I have only 80K home and abroad. Let's not get into it. Right?
These are negotiations.
Yes, let's not get into it. Just do it for me. Please, sorry for me and just do it. And he did it. So the next day, put the ad out.
Yeah.
To be fair, I hated the ad because I felt like it was just too casual. You know? But it worked, right? He put the ad out and we got one inquiry. Two inquiries, three inquiries.
Just adding up.
A sale. Inquiries, a sale. Before you know, bro, at the end of the day, we had made 180,000. In my life, since I was born, I have not made 100. As a matter of fact, my goal for Patricia was to make 30K.
30K naira.
30K naira a month. And in a day, I was making 180,000. At that point, I died. There's nothing
anybody could tell you after that.
You cannot tell me nothing. You can definitely not tell me nothing.
Oh, bad.
And that was exactly how we started. Just started growing from.
Yeah.
You know, it's very interesting. When I say we, yes, I mean my.
Yeah.
But how we've been able to out of WhatsApp.
Yeah.
Because we literally built.
On WhatsApp.
On WhatsApp. I mean, this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because.
Yeah.
You know, brick for brick.
Yeah.
No help. No.
Yeah.
Like, thinking of it now, how far we've been able to take it, grab this thing, and now we're still bootstrapped.
Yeah.
You
know, you're not receiving any VC funding.
Zero funding. 4 years later, $500 million evaluation.
Yeah.
And still bootstrapped. Like, it's amazing.
So you posted this tweet on November 10th, right? You said, "Dear African founders, never accept the notion that being African puts you at a disadvantage.
Yeah.
You have the capacity to build out of Africa and compete anywhere in the world. Do not relent and never agree to remain just African focused." What inspired the tweet and what are your thoughts even around that subject?
So I think at the time, right, I was in America.
Yeah.
And I was just trying to understand the terrain, you know, see what's possible, see what's not, understand what's, you know, like, what is this craze around America, this promised land of milk and honey. You know, I was trying to understand what exactly it is and what it could be.
Yeah.
You know, and I got to America. It was a wonderful, wonderful reception. Mm-hmm. I met great people, fantastic people. Mm-hmm. A few weeks in, I started meeting VCs, you know, and there was this bias just because you are African, you know. First of all, they don't expect you to grow out of
Africa. Yeah.
They expect you to keep your vision limited in Africa.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why do we have to keep our visions based on, like, Africa needs help,
yes,
for sure.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
We can
build for the world.
What you doing, bro? I can do it better than you.
Yeah.
You
know,
like,
yeah.
Why should we have to be Africa focused? As a matter of fact, I go into rooms and as soon as I say I'm trying to build a global business, you know, everybody mentally checks out.
Yes.
You know, I can see the energy in the room that this guy doesn't know what he's saying. Or this guy is just another one just
like you're dreaming too big.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, and you know what even annoyed me the most, or what pained me the most, was the black people, right? They have embedded that culture.
They believe it.
Yes, like it's like so when I speak to black Americans, right, they don't expect themselves to build outside of Africa.
Yeah.
So they're in America, living in America, but they're building for Africans, right? And, you know, Nelson Mandela said this, right? He said, there is no joy to be found in playing small, right, and dimming your light.
Yes.
Right? And I see these guys dimming their lights just because of the notion and the mentality.
Mm-hmm.
That's on one side. The other side is just because you're African, you cannot get as much funds.
Yes.
You cannot get
access
to capital just because you're African. You have to go to the African focused VCs, you know, like you have to go,
We're going to dismantle it.
Like, and it's almost as if everybody has accepted this as the status quo.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
And it's what it is. Let's keep moving by disagreement. So founders, if you're listening to me, if you have your dreams, if you want to build for the world, go do it. Nobody should stop you. The world is your oyster. Push it, man. Push it.
So I think that let's even transition to the hope of crypto, because I think part of this system, especially in the US, is you have to be an accredited investor sometimes to even get access to startups, right? Yeah. And I think in the future where there's DeFi, and maybe you're raising from a community perspective, you can literally go sell your idea, your startup idea to the community and get funding directly from the community.
Mm-hmm.
What promise do you think cryptocurrency holds for Africa?
So, interesting question.
Yeah.
Right. I'd actually say the currency is built for Africa.
Mm-hmm.
The real use case of crypto, right, is for Africa. It's assuming the World Bank just built a system and say, Africans, I'm building this for you.
Yes.
This is exactly what crypto is, because we have the most use case for crypto.
Yes.
Our system is so fragmented.
Broken. Yeah,
it is so fragmented, you know, but the problem is we do not see it. Like, I don't know if it's us or our leaders, right? We do not see how this can be the turnaround for us.
Yes.
You see, everywhere in the world today, Germany is known for cars, right?
Mm-hmm.
China is known for mass production,
yes,
right? What is Africa known for?
Exactly.
What is Nigeria known for? We can't even say, you know, if at all it's negative things that we are known for, right? But crypto and blockchain is not bounded by geography.
Yeah.
Like, now more than ever, we can win.
Yeah.
We can become the leaders. And as a matter of fact, with almost no support, we are already leading.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Nigeria is among the top five in the world that uses crypto. With no infrastructure, with no support, just Nigerians waking up every day to do the absolute most.
Mm-hmm.
Now, imagine if we have support.
Funding.
Imagine if we, like, it's crazy how even the story of Tesla is very interesting, right? When you see how the U.S. government gave Elon Musk $400 million, $400 million. Are you kidding me, bro? You should give me $50 million. but you get my point.
Yeah.
Like we need more.
That's an enabling environment.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. Exactly. You know, not crypto ban all around.
Because they choke you for neck.
Man, it choke.
It choke. They choke for real. And I think, what would you then say? What advice would you have for founders who are dealing with like government regulation? How has Patricia been able to navigate that space? Because most founders just want to build and do their work.
Yeah.
And if you're in an environment where the government does not necessarily even understand your space and creates regulation that even affects your space,
yeah,
what advice would you give to up and coming founders who are dealing with government regulation?
Well, it's different, you know, in mm-hmm. every industry. Mm-hmm. There was a time when the government banned ride hailing, mm-hmm. right? And what happened was a lot of these companies, you folded up, the other ones who were still around, they moved to delivery services.
Yes.
You know, so I think my first take on this would be, it depends on how hungry
you are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really. It depends on how hungry the founder and his team,
mm-hmm.
you know, how hungry they are. And also, necessity is the mother of invention.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So the hunger will push you to find ways around mm-hmm. it like we mm-hmm. did, mm-hmm. you know. And the funny thing is, we are even doing way better than we were before mm-hmm. the ban. We are in more countries mm-hmm. than we were. We're only in Nigeria in February 2021.
Yeah.
Now we have friends in over 5 countries, and thanks to CBN. So
it forced you to diversify exactly, and expand.
Exactly. Yeah. It forced us to realize that, you know, why play small? Mm. Why play for Nigeria? Or we could play for the world.
Yes. Yes. Know? Yes. I think there's a thing to be said about being anti-fragile with your business, because you want it to be a situation where they cut off one head, you grow two. They cut off two.
Exactly. A Hydra.
Hydra. Exactly. For sure, you know. Let's talk about failure. A lot of entrepreneurs deal with failure, yeah. right? What would you say was your most significant failure, and what did that experience teach you? Because you already said you failed with a lot of businesses.
Yeah.
What would you say was the one that you were like, maybe I should just go to school and focus on just getting a job?
Let's see. My most significant failure. Man, to be honest, I failed. I've been through the most. I've literally been through the most.
Mm.
In recent times, I think the most failures I've experienced really relies on people.
Yeah.
Right? Not a process failure or a business failure,
mm-hmm.
but just having people who you trust,
mm-hmm.
right? And who turn around and use the trust for their own selfish,
mm-hmm.
selfish
agenda.
Agendas. Yeah. Then you begin to realize that you have to build process over people,
mm-hmm.
right? For a sustainable mm-hmm. business.
Yeah.
You know, for a small company, you tend to push the agenda of family
mm-hmm.
because
mm-hmm.
you guys are small. You're mm-hmm. 9, 10, 15 people. Mm-hmm. It's a small niche. You keep it moving.
Mm-hmm.
But as you begin to expand, you begin to see that a family is not the way to go
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
because a family does not fire each other, right? You cannot say, oh, just because you peed on your bed,
yes,
leave the family. We are exiting from the family.
We just help you clean up.
Exactly. We help you clean up and keep it moving.
Yeah.
You know, but that's not the case in business.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Yeah.
So for a business.
And a team, really. Right,
exactly.
Olympic team.
And in a community, everybody has to provide mm-hmm. value to the mm-hmm. community mm-hmm. for the community to grow.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are not providing value to the community, mm-hmm. then you shouldn't be a member of that community.
Yeah, yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And that is how I've been able to walk through the human problem,
mm-hmm.
right? So now Patricia is not a family,
mm-hmm.
but it's a community,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And in a community that you've not put any value, then by all means, you cannot be a member of that community.
Yeah.
Right? And that's what it is.
I think Naval described startups as an Olympic team, right?
Yeah.
And that if you're going to do a startup, you want to recruit Olympians, right?
100%.
And so that, and I think the Shopify CEO said that they had to switch from calling their Shopify co-workers family to team members.
Yeah.
Right? Because if it's a team, you know you're pulling your weight in the team.
Yeah.
And if you're not pulling your weight on the team, then you need to actually leave the team so other people who are willing to pull up their weights can join the team.
Yeah.
So I think once we start to really recognize it as the team members and you're actually in this Olympic sport,
mm-hmm.
you then have to pull your own weight in that endeavor, you know?
100%.
Definitely. So then how do you maintain a balance between giving people enough freedom to be ambitious and not too much that they don't sink the ship? Because you were talking to about processes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a problem. And I think that's a problem that we continue to face even with Patricia today,
mm-hmm.
you know, where everybody has an agenda, you know, but how we've been able to fix that is having very clear and defined goals.
OKRs, yeah.
Just, we have very clear defined goals. Mm-hmm. So, for example, the goal is we want to hit $10 billion mm-hmm. in transaction volume every mm-hmm. month, mm-hmm. right? It doesn't matter if it's BTC to Ethereum pay, mm-hmm. whatever the pay may be, yeah. right? We want to hit $10 billion mm-hmm. in transaction volume, mm-hmm. right? And it's very simple, mm-hmm. right? Go and be creative.
Yeah.
Go and be creative within
the process. Window. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So make sure your thought process is mm-hmm. aligned with where the company wants to get to.
Yeah.
Because at the end, we are working towards the same goal, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So that alone has been able to streamline people's thoughts. Every once in a while, if people still, you know, go outside, mm-hmm. but it's curtailed.
It has to. So, Hanu, if the only thing left in the world was to read a book about your life,
yeah.
what would you title the name of the book?
The funny thing is, I'm actually writing a book.
Okay.
Right. I've been on it for the past 6 or 7 months.
Okay.
Right. And just to give you some spoilers, so the book is about the first 26 years of my life.
Okay.
Right. Okay. Up until the point where I landed in America.
Yeah.
That's where the book ends. Right. Have I come up with a name for it yet?
No.
Right. But the name has to be a banger.
Mm.
It has to be, once you see it, I'm definitely reading it. Right now, I'm reading a book the title of the book is How to Not Do Anything.
Okay.
Right.
Who's it by?
I have no idea.
How to not do anything.
Yes.
Okay.
How to not do anything.
Yeah.
Because I cannot not do anything. Like, I can't just sit down for 5 minutes yeah. and not do anything.
So you always feel like you have to be productive.
I have to do something.
Yeah.
You have to be on something.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I really don't know what the name of the book would be, but it will have to be Do the Most title.
Well, because let me see. From what I know about you, I feel like there's a, I would really say anti-fragile.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter what they throw at you. Like, you will transform over and over and over again. Or maybe like reinvention, you know? Let's talk through your other ambitions aside from Patricia,
yeah.
right? Like, you're a serial entrepreneur. What are mm-hmm. other things that you love, that you're passionate about?
Well, I think my first passion
mm-hmm.
and my real passion, finance.
Okay, finance. Yeah. Okay.
I enjoy art of money.
Movement, okay.
Yes,
okay.
Money movement.
Yeah.
I want to know that I can be in France and move money to Nigeria.
Yeah, seamlessly.
And I will get it comfortably.
Yeah.
Like, that fascinates me, yeah. first of all.
Yeah.
Now, the next thing is, I also am fascinated by the fact that you can have 1 + 1, right? But 1 + 1 can equal to 7 if you do the most.
Yeah, yeah, right? Yeah.
So it's a daily quest for
maximizing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
How can we turn this 1 + 1, right, and equal to 7?
Yeah.
And it's something that we've successfully done in Patricia.
Mm.
In 2019,
mm-hmm.
our transaction volumes were around $8 million.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
And in 2020, mm-hmm. right, our transaction volumes were over $300 million.
Wow.
We grew by over 1,000%.
Yeah.
And in history of mankind, right?
Yeah.
History of mankind.
Yeah.
Only 3 companies have experienced that level of growth.
That's one year.
Apple, Facebook, and Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And we answered all those questions.
Yeah.
And the first question we ask ourselves every day is, what great idea is nobody currently building?
Yeah.
And we just go and do that.
Yeah.
So coming back to your initial question,
mm-hmm.
we have huge Patricia Universe.
Mm-hmm.
We recently just companies
mm-hmm.
be private because of you know who, right? So we keep it private, we keep it low key,
yeah.
we keep it moving.
Yeah, yeah. You're in stealth. So what does self-care look like for you? Because you know you say you struggle with like, you know, not doing anything. So what does self-care look like to you? Because one of the things we're preaching is self-care is important, especially for founders, because burnout is real, right?
Yeah,
so what does self-care look like for you?
That's a very difficult question, right? For me, self-care can just be chilling my boys, you know? It can just be, it's just, right now, this is self-care, right?
Just chilling, relaxing.
Yeah, so there is no particular, like, I wouldn't say I go to the spa, or I go to the beach, and have a beach day, or I do this. For me, it's just vibes, you know, whatever keeps me going. I like to be on my feet.
Yeah.
I took the first holiday ever just last December.
Yeah.
You know, and even in the, even between the holiday, I was working in Ghana. Mm-hmm. So it's a go as fast as you can when your feet are strong.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm 40, I'll be able to unwind like Jeff Bezos and be in Miami chilling with
chest out. So can you tell me three books that have had a profound impact on your life? And
I can definitely tell you.
Yes.
That. And I say this a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's funny how there's a backstory to how I found books.
Yeah.
Right? And I'll start with the backstory. In the university, I was studying mathematics and statistics.
Yeah.
I hated it. Right. But I was good. Like I wasn't failing.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I was good. As a matter of fact, in my year one, I got the highest score of the entire level.
Yeah.
So everybody in the year one put together, I got the highest score in one of the subjects. So they brought me out in one of the general days. Gave me scholarships, blah, 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 blah. It was a good vibe. So I became really popular in school and all that. So year one was good. I got good grades.
Mm-hmm.
Year two, right, I started, my affinity for business started becoming more and more and more. So I was dabbling into one or two things.
Yeah.
And I realized that every day I'm going to school and I'm being taught mathematics. But when I try to run my business, I will buy a bike and give it to a man to ride for me.
Yeah.
After 2 months, this guy will disappear. I will go to his house to find him. Him and his family beat me up.
Yeah.
And they sent me away.
Yeah.
School didn't teach me how to
navigate that, those practicalities. Yes, that problem. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. I will do something else. I will start selling popcorn.
Mm.
My popcorn is doing well. Like we are the most loved popcorn stand in the full university. Yeah. The girl I employed moved opposite me, right? Made her own popcorn
stand. Like competing against you.
As a matter of fact, all my customers just moved from my stand to her stand. Yeah. Thinking it was the same company. The
company, yeah.
Right.
School doesn't teach you that.
They teach me that. You know, I had to be selling popcorn myself. I left school for weeks selling popcorn. My friends would pass, snap me, put me on the WhatsApp group.
Yeah.
And everybody would be catching clues on me. Like, what's up? How are we doing? You know, it made no sense.
Yeah, man.
School wasn't teaching me this.
Yeah, things. It doesn't teach you. It doesn't teach you how to navigate those practical problems.
I'm trying to save money to do real life businesses. Mm-hmm. Somebody is calling me for money and I'm forced to give out the money, you know, but like it wasn't just teaching me what I needed to know.
Yeah.
You know? So the first book I ever read, like not read, but you know, being woke and being aware of my reality, right? The first book I ever read was The Richest Man in Babylon.
Okay. Richest Man in Babylon. Okay.
Yeah. The Richest Man in Babylon.
Mm-hmm.
This book is like a 3-hour read if you go straight.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But this book made all the difference in my life.
Yeah.
Right. The book taught me values, especially around saving.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So for every money you get, you save a certain percentage of it.
Yeah.
And when you do save that money, so after a year, you save X amount of money, right? So you go and invest the money.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't give your money to a blacksmith, right?
Yeah.
Because he tells you he wants to sell corn.
Yeah.
He doesn't know nothing about selling corn.
Yeah.
You give it to a farmer, right? So the book gives you practical examples of how to save and how to manage your money.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the very first step for me. Because at that point, I got financial literacy
in
3 hours.
Yeah.
How to save money, how to manage money, how to increase my purse, right? And that book changed my life.
Yeah.
So everybody needs to read that book.
Okay.
If you've never read it, it's 3 hours. It's quick.
Yeah.
It's not one of those books that you have to read for, and it's a story.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
actually enjoy it.
Yeah. The Richest Man in Babylon.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a hit. The next book that changed my life was Zero to One.
Okay.
Peter Thiel. Yeah. So the book basically talks about ideas.
Yes.
Right.
And Monopoly versus,
like, it was just perfect. Like, you know, and what stuck with me most is, you know, if you want to be great, if you want to do the most, if you want to become somebody, right, you have to bring out zero to one ideas.
Yes, yes.
You know, so
yes.
Let me give you an example of zero to one companies. Right.
That's the point.
Zero to one.
Yeah.
Right? Now, every other company who comes to compete with Uber, right, they are now just extending what Uber has already done. Just touch your phone that actually work with your fingers. You know, like there are a ton of companies who actually have 0 to 1 ideas. And this is exactly what I try to bring to Patricia every other day.
So the book is 0 to 1 by Peter Thiel.
Exactly.
And then the Uber example as well for that.
Yeah.
Okay, so what about the third example? Third book. No, but those are two solid books though.
Yeah.
And I read Peter Thiel's book, I think, actually in the pandemic.
Yeah.
Because when COVID happened, right, like a lot of businesses were forced to shut down.
Yeah.
And then you have to ask yourself, okay, why is my business anti-fragile enough to sustain even if there's a pandemic, right?
Yeah.
So I think in the book when he was explaining, because you can always tell when businesses move from abundance versus when they move from scarcity.
Yeah.
Right. And when he was giving those airline examples in the book, I was like, yes, because these airlines are in a very scarce environment. They're not actually doing anything special. They've not innovated on anything special, right? And so that's why they don't move from abundance. So that's a really great book to definitely tap into. So how do we ask all our guests this question when they come on the podcast, right? What does being Afropolitan mean to you?
Interesting question.
Mm.
What does being Afropolitan mean to me?
Yeah.
Well, I think the first thing I would say, it means being African.
Yeah.
Right? It means being African. Means being an African citizen.
Mm.
You know, being proud of who I am, the color of my skin, my melanin, and allowing my melanin shine so bright. You know, it means being who I am and embracing my heritage.
Yes.
You know, and far more than, like, I am African to the fourth.
Yeah.
Literally. Right? I am African to the fourth because I believe in Africa. I see the potential in Africa. And I want to be able to, in my lifetime.
Build it.
Yeah. In my lifetime.
Yeah.
I want to take Africa to the point where we are Africa.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
We are now the new Africa.
Yeah.
You know, the notion of Africa is, no, we have to, you know, we have to let them know that.
We have to live.
We are not here to play. We are here to bring real value. Life value. And that's what it means to me. And even like Patricia, like,
yeah.
We embody it because we address all our customers as chief. You know, and we get so much backlash, especially from American PCs and all of that. Because when you come on our website, the first thing you see is chief, and they'd be like, ah, chief is not a universally acceptable word. And I'm like, you wait and see.
You wait and see. Yeah. We'll make it universal.
Wait and see.
Yeah, yeah.
We are
making
this universally. Where did SAR come from?
SAR.
Right? Where did madam come from?
Exactly.
Is that our language?
No.
Is that our language?
No, no.
You know, and what does chief mean? Chief means a leader or a ruler.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And a man or woman can be a leader or a ruler.
Yes.
That's what it means.
So let's talk about, as we round up, right, what are you most excited about for Patricia in 2022?
I'm really, really pumped.
Mm.
I'm really pumped because 2021 went by really fast. It was a blur.
Yeah.
We spent most of our time recuperating and coming off from the CBN
back. Yeah.
2022, we have a very clear vision of where we want to be.
Yeah.
We have a very clear understanding of the roads that will take us there. More importantly, the roads that will not. We are rolling out new products. We are getting into new countries.
Mm.
We are making crypto easy. We are most 100% doing the most.
Yeah.
So I would allow your guests to be my guests, but we are definitely going to
be in the future. We're in the future. Honey, man, bro, thank you so much for coming on the Afropolitan podcast. I think we can actually continue the conversation on Spaces, but it's been a pleasure having you on the Afropolitan podcast, man. Thank you for coming on. I hope you've had a good one.
I have.
Thank you for listening to the Afropolitan podcast. We are building the future of a progressive Black community. To join our community, you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Afropolitan. Be sure to join our Discord and Clubhouse community by clicking on the link tree on our Instagram page. See you on social.